evening, Family Worship Center in beautiful downtown Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Hallelujah. Good to have you all here tonight. I'd like to welcome all of our guests, particularly our wonderful friends from up north, Pastor Sam and his beautiful wife. Good to see you folks. Thank you. Praise God for all you being here. And we are so excited tonight. We have direct from South Africa, our Apostle Vincent Valentin tonight as our guest. Praise God. Thank you all for coming. Thank you to all of you joining us tonight on Facebook. Also, make sure you put on your calendar Wednesday evenings, roughly 8 o'clock, an hour of power prayer. The power prayer has been amazing because we're seeing things broken. We're seeing lives change with this prayer. We're seeing cultures move. Better yet, afterwards, Pastor Chris will take some time to go deeper into the Bible. Some studies and some things maybe we don't have time to get to on a Saturday night, we'll go deeper. And you will have the opportunity to ask questions. So why don't we all rise to our feet tonight as we want to worship the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just give you the glory, the grace, and praise. Lord, we know that by your stripes we are healed, which is why we stand here this day, Lord. Lord, we are so happy to be in this house. Father, we pray that you open up the heavens. Open up the heavens to the worship, Father. Open up the heavens, Father, and pour your mercies, Father. Pour your grace, Father. We release this service. We release this service, Father, to you, Father, to do what you will in us, Father. Open up the hearts of this people, Lord. Open up the hearts. Open up their ears, Father, that they will hear the word of the man of God that has traveled far to preach to us tonight, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, for we are a people that is blessed and highly favored. We will do what you said we will do. We are who you said we are, and you we will be, and you are who you said you are. You are the Son of God. Your name's above all names. Everything shall bow to you. We give you the glory in the name of Jesus. We open up the heavens and let the praises flow. Hallelujah. We just say this word, the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
My hands to yours, believing that. Thank you. all just blessed tonight. Holy is the Lord God. Holy is the Lord. Just behold Him. Just behold the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. His name's above all names. There's no other name above our God. Hallelujah. He's Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. The angels cry. Holy, holy, holy. The Lord God Almighty. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. We sing worthy, worthy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy is His name. Holy, holy.
Let's praise Him. He's worthy of the highest praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy of the highest praise. Hallelujah. Make a joyful noise unto Him. Hallelujah. Have you been set free? Hallelujah. Have you been set free? Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. Chains are broken. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Hallelujah. He is worthy of our praise. Amen. I said He's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy. All that He's done and all that He's going to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Children can go to their classes. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. All my soul and all that's within me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb of God. I'll give them a minute to get to their, go to their classes. Look at all these kids. Woo. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a good thing to have a bunch of kids. Amen. It's a good thing. Say it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Amen. Have life in the church. Hallelujah. Someone says, does it bother you for the kids to make noise? Absolutely not. Because you cannot get any louder than me. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. I want to give Apostle as much time as he needs. We don't always get this opportunity. You could pray for a second. We don't get this opportunity often. Maybe once a year, maybe twice if we're lucky. But I'm honored to have him here. It's been since February of 2020. But he declared a word to us right before the shutdown, before COVID. And he preached a message that was such, it was on point. And he spoke of fear. And we all know that the days to come of what we experienced and how that fear really represented itself, even in the church. I know that this man, when he comes, that he really sets some things in order. He really declares some things. So I want each one of us really to take this moment and listen, have your ears. I pray that each one of you have ears to hear. I pray that you have the eyes of revelation, that Christ will be revealed to each and every one of us, that there'll be a moment that each one of us come up a little higher. Say, come up a little higher. I feel that we're standing in a moment right now that God is calling us up higher. Hallelujah. That God's calling us to come. Hallelujah. To love Him. To reach for Him a little bit more. Come on. Amen. To reach a little bit for Him. And there's some things that trying to be obstacles to keep us from entering in. Hallelujah. Of all that He has. His peace. His mercy. His grace. Amen. All those things. But God wants us to come up a little bit higher. That we've been in the 30-fold. Now it's time to step into 60-fold. That we ultimately enter into the 100-fold, amen, to come up a little bit more with Him, to embrace Him, amen, like we've never done before. But I just want to read this. Then the Lord put forth His hand and He touched my mouth. And the Lord said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I thank God for this man of God, because God speaks through him and uses him in a powerful way. And that as the words were placed in Jeremiah's mouth, to see, I have this day set over you the nations and over kingdoms to root out. Come on, say root out. To pull down. You know what? There's some things that got to be rooted out. And there's got to be sometimes some things that got to get pulled out. I don't like some things. Sometimes even when you go to the dentist, you get a cavity, you got to get it pulled out. If you leave it there, it's not a good thing. So sometimes it's uncomfortable, but there's some things that got to get pulled out sometimes. Amen. For us to get a little bit higher. He says, and to destroy, to throw down, and to build, and to plant. So tonight, I just want you to welcome, hallelujah, Apostle Valentine. Give him the honor that's due to his name and receive the word into your heart. Amen. Would you stand with me as you welcome the man of God, Apostle Valentine. Hallelujah. Thank you.
God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you. Let's do this one. Let me try this one. All right. That's working better for me. That way I don't have to work my voice too hard and I won't be hoarse tomorrow when I have to speak for Pastor Sam. He's got a horse on his farm, but not that horse I'm speaking of. It's good to be here again after so long. And I've kept going amidst this crazy time. The Lord told me in April of 2020, He said to me, the apostolic is under attack. And what that means is that the methodology that God uses to be represented in the world or in the earth is humans or created beings. And when you lock God's creation down, you basically limit the movement of God in the earth. And God said, my movement has been limited by my creation being locked down. And when the Lord said that to me, I said, I'm getting out of the box. Because I have to continue to move and do the things of God. And God has been gracious to me to help me to continue to move and do His work. I've just come out of Egypt 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, and a nation that's almost 90% Muslim. In fact, they will tell you that it's 98% Muslim. But in that midst of that place, God has a people. Of course, it's difficult to continue to do the work of the Lord in that kind of condition. For example, if you're a Christian in that nation, you won't get the good jobs. That job's reserved for the Muslim people. Part of your punishment for following Christ is that you are marginalized societally. And of course, God in His grace helped people to start their own enterprises, to do their own business, to break out of that limitation, because you cannot limit the blessing of God. Amen. The blessing of God makes rich, it adds no sorrow, and it breaks out of all limitations. Amen. So, the last 20, 21 months were a bit crazy, do you agree? It's a hard reset. And we noticed that as I'm traveling, many of the people of God are struggling in this time to make the adjustments of these conditions under we now have to function. And many have not recovered, as I could use that term, from the shock of this reset. I say that because many has not returned to the house of God. People are still struggling to make their return to the house of God because they fear. And we understand there's fear-mongering going on all day long on the media and every other way. It doesn't matter where in the world you go. There's fear-mongering going on every day telling you of the dangers of this virus, this invisible virus that we're dealing with. I do not deny its existence as the reality. It's still to be proven in a lab that it exists. But we know the effect that it has on people. And that's the thing we're dealing with, the reality of that. And we have to really allow the Lord to impart to us a greater measure of faith to live under these conditions. Because most of us have the kind of faith that you need for blessing and prosperity, not for trial and tribulation. It's a different kind of faith that you need for trial and tribulation than for blessing and prosperity, you know, and vacations and all those things. That's a different kind of faith. But when the going gets tough, they say in the world, it's the tough that gets going. And so in the house of God, we need to allow the Spirit of God to fire up those engines that's within our spirit. I think of it oftentimes as an old massive Ferguson engine, a diesel engine that's there in my spirit, and it only starts up under difficult circumstances. When everything's fine, we just cruise. But when I come across a difficult situation, I feel in my spirit as I'm praying, there it is, that old engine starting up. Now we're going to plow some land, we're going to break some territory, we're going to destroy some resistance, we're going to overcome, and we're going to defeat this thing, because it's been defeated long ago at Calvary. I have to enforce the victory of Christ over a situation. Amen. All right, so I don't know about you, but I discovered that I needed more faith. How many of you feel that you need more faith? All right, you can be honest. Don't sort of do that, because, you know, this is going to hit you later. I've been walking with the Lord for almost 45 years, and I tell you, I need more faith. You see, we need more faith, firstly, to know God. We need more faith to know how to walk with God through the valley of the shadow of death, through trials and tribulations and hardships and persecution, because we didn't develop that kind of faith in the past season. You know, we've come through the season of where every season almost was about blessings and prosperity and new houses and lands and cars. So we've found ourselves flat-footed when we hit this kind of resistance. So I came before the Lord. I said, excuse me, we need to revisit the situation here, because we need to talk about this. And I've spent much time in prayer, especially in that first 6 months of last year, trying to lay hold of the heart and the mind of God in the season. Amen. Now, the second principle of the foundation of Christ is called faith towards God. The first principle is repentance from dead works. It's Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. You need to know that off by heart. It's the foundation of your faith. And so it says faith towards God. Now, what does that mean? It means that God has given everyone a measure of faith. Somebody say measure of faith. You've got a measure of faith. The problem is, if you don't put it in God, it's not going to create or fulfill the mind of God and the purpose of God. Because as humans, you can put your faith in yourself. You can put it in your career. You can put it in the world system. You know, but let me put it this way. Your faith is only as good as what you put it into. God is the only one with the power and the potential to give you 100% return on your faith. Everything else is a measure. And some things are as disappointment. All right? So let's read Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Why doesn't he say faith in God? Why does the author say faith towards God? Because faith must be aligned. It must be directed. And at times it needs to be calibrated so that it can be placed in the proper source, because the origins of faith is God himself. And therefore, it needs to be put back in God in order to fulfill what God designed it to do. Okay, are you with me so far? All right. Don't let me preach. Okay. The Greek word for faith is pistis. And it means to believe, have confidence, trust, and exercise reliance. But it's a little bit underrated in its explanation of what faith really is. Because faith originates in God. Everything that emits from God is eternal. And its intention is to bring about change in that which is temporal, which is time and space. Eternal values are more powerful than time and space, because time and space emerge from it, the eternity. Before there was time and space, there was eternity. God brought it out of eternity so that you and I may be able to function in the earth in the continuum of time and of space. God is not limited to time and space. We are. So faith then is a trans-earthly power, which means it does not originate here. Faith originates in God. It's a native of the unseen realm. In other words, it visits here. You need to understand that. Faith doesn't live here. It visits here. Okay, come with me. Faith originates in the substructure of the being of God, or the hypostasis of God. In other words, God has determined that there are certain aspects of his person that he wants to make known in his creation. For example, the Bible says, God is love, which means God has determined that he wants creation to know that he's love. Otherwise, he would never know that God is love if he doesn't want you to know. You could also say God is faith, because God has determined that that aspect of his being will become known to his creation, and that his whole creation ought to function by faith. The Bible says he holds everything together by the word of his power. Not only did he create it by his word, but it's held together by the word of his power. You and I, being created in the image and likeness of God, we are designed to function by faith. When you have little faith or no faith, you basically are not operating at the level God designed you to operate. In fact, when you have little faith or no faith, you're a sitting duck for the enemy. He can do anything with you, really, mess with you in any kind of way, because your soul is wide open to the influence of the world, because your spirit has not been fortified and built and strengthened in the most holy faith by the Holy Ghost. Okay. Anybody still with me? Now let me propose a problem to you. When faith comes to us, it can either succeed or fail. It can succeed when you have matured spiritually sufficiently not to enter into a debate or argument with the word of the Lord when the Spirit of God brings to you the faith to believe God in any particular area. If you're a soulless person, which means your soul dominates your life, your will, your emotions, your intellect, your flesh dictates how you live and what you do and how you function. When God speaks to you by his word and faith is generated in your spirit, it has to pass through your soul in order to become a manifestation. But to the spiritual mature person, faith does not travel that way. Because the mind of Christ is established in this person's life, and faith accesses the mind of Christ in the person's life, and there is the ease of the manifestation and the execution of the will of God, because there is not the weight of the soul that weighs the person down. Okay, you still with me? All right. Now, I'm not talking about any of you in this regard. I'm helping you to counsel the people that you meet on the street and in your neighborhood and your friendship, your family. I know you are all spiritually mature and you are under the Holy Ghost and governed by the Spirit of the Lord. But this I'm saying so that you have something to tell your friends. Now, James proposes a problem. James says, faith without works is dead. Now, how did that happen? In other words, faith came to me or you. It had the potential to do what God says it could do. But you or I won't let it. So our intellect and our emotions suffocated faith. And we, like a wrestler, you know, wrestling faith down to the canvas. And finally, faith died. If faith does not produce a work, it has not succeeded in accomplishing the will of God in your life. Because it came to produce a work. Jesus puts it this way. Let men see your works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. All right, let me use another verse of scripture. Jesus says a tree is known by its leaves. Ah, you with me? It's known by its fruit. So if, and by the way, he's not speaking in a allegorical manner, you are a tree. Doesn't it say that in Psalm 1, Psalms 1? that you are like a tree planted by streams of living waters, giving your fruit in season and out of season, and even your leaves doesn't wither, because you are planted at the streams of living waters. This here, the house of God, is where the streams of living waters are flowing. And you are a tree, a planting in the garden of God. You're supposed to take up the nutrients in the house of God and produce fruit. If there's no fruit, then faith didn't do anything for you, because it didn't do anything in you. That's why it can't do anything through you. You see, God brings faith to us because we are designed to live by faith. You are not your best self if you are not operating by faith. Because if faith is absent, fear is present. The two does not coexist. They are not twins. They are opposites. Bless the Lord. Are you still with me? Now, many of you grew up in church, and you were taught that the purpose of faith is to arm wrestle God to give you stuff. But biblically, that's not the purpose for faith. Biblically, the purpose of faith is twofold. Are you with me? Hold on to your seat. The first purpose of faith is to get to know God. Without faith, you'll never know God. You'll know about God. You can even know the history of Christianity, and you can study things, and you can have a culture of Christianity, but you won't know God, because it takes faith to get to know God. And then in the process of getting to know God, you will have to do the second thing, is to obey God. So faith has two primary purposes for you to get to know God and for you to get to obey God. Everything else is subject to those two things. Getting to know God and getting to obey God. Folks, you can just study the patriarchal fathers and you will see in the scriptures how they walked with God. Do you know that in this Bible, in the Old Testament, faith, the word faith, appears only twice? They didn't have a theology of faith. They simply walked with God. They knew how to hear God's voice, and they knew how to do God's will. They had a culture of representing God on the earth. For these folks, to not walk by faith was to cease to exist. That's how powerful they walked by faith, because they had an absolute belief. Let me put it to you this way. Folks, don't get mad at me. I'm an African. I'm going to tell you something right now. Your prosperity ruined your faith in God. God told me this himself. Around the 80s, I was in prayer and fasting, and I was telling God, he made a major calculating error to birth me in Africa. I said, I have great potential that belongs to the first world. You've messed things up. In the midst of that, God in his grace took me up in a vision and showed me something. Showed me the continent of Africa. But this is what God said to me. Africa is my best kept secret. Through Africa, I have preserved the faith in the earth. Then he went on, he said, Africa has not been polluted and tarnished by wealth. It has a pure faith in me. That's God's opinion, not mine. Okay. So, I'm not saying it's not good to be prosperous. I'm saying you need to understand there's more to God than prosperity. Amen. If you only know the God of prosperity, and you don't know the God of trials and tribulations and hardships and all the other things that goes with life, you may not keep the faith when the scenario changes on the earth. If you are suddenly persecuted for being a follower of Christ, you may kick this thing to the bucket and say, that's it, I didn't sign up for this. But you need to understand, faith is for the purpose of knowing God and obeying God. You could also say walking with God. Without faith, you're not going to do it. Now, let me give you a reason, several reasons why I believe many people do not grow in faith. Are you ready? Okay. Firstly, when Adam fell, deep wounds of doubt and unbelief came into the heart of man, and he questions the validity of God's word now. So even when you're born again, if you have not established your identity in Christ, you read that book, the Bible, and you question the words in that book, because somehow in your subconscious mind and your soul, you may be saying, this is too good to be true, or can God really expect that from me? I'm sorry I didn't sign up for this. All I signed up is to get my soul saved and for me to go to heaven. Okay, that's like living far below the bar. The second thing is the orphan spirit. The orphan spirit came into the heart of man when the glory of God lifted from his creation and man suddenly discovered that he was naked. And he also discovered, because God put him out of the garden, which is the area in which God occupied on earth. And now he's a wanderer. Many people receive Jesus for salvation, but they never become sons of God. And the orphan spirit, which reconfigured the construct of your soul, is so powerful that it questions the validity of everything that God says. And even though your spirit desires salvation, your soul continuously abhors the purposes of God, and you do not grow and become what God intends you to be. And so you have year in and year out the same struggles, the same problems, the same counseling. We've been pouring a whole bottle of oil in your head and you still have the same problems. So until that spirit of the orphan has been broken off from your spirit and your soul, you will not really believe the word of God to be the truth. And beyond that, we're dealing with principalities and powers and demonic spirits and all of this, spirits of doubt and unbelief. All of these things are working against us. So if you really want to make progress in walking with God, you better get this one right. Amen? Okay, let me help you with another word. The word is peiro in the Greek, and it means to pierce through. Like when you have an arrow, and it pierces through an object, or, a spear, or a dagger or something. Piercing through an object. Can you see that picture? Yeah. Piercing through. Now, I want to combine this word pyro with the word pistis, which is faith. So it becomes pyropistis. What does it mean in English? It means piercing faith. You see, faith is not designed to lie on the surface. If it's lying on the surface, it's not doing what it's designed to do. It's designed to pierce through a situation, because remember, faith is eternal. Faith comes from the very being of God, and you and I are in a temporal situation, in a temporal habitation. Your body is only there for 100 years or however long it's going to last. It's a temporal habitation. Paul calls it a tent. And your situation of your family and your business and everything, that all of that is temporal. Why is it temporal? Because it is subject to change. So when the eternal comes, faith comes out of the eternity of God. It comes to change that which is temporal. That's why if you walk by sight and not by faith, you walk by the temporal and not by the eternal. Your life is regulated by that which you can see and taste and smell and feel. That's a terrible disposition to be in. So, here's what I want to help you understand this. In the physical realm, people quantify or describe an object by how they see it, or touch, taste, smell, or hear it. But in the spirit realm, as soon as you come into the spirit realm, your 5 senses are no longer relevant. You now transcend the natural and begin to operate by the Spirit in the supernatural realm, where you are no longer limited by your 5 senses, because the 5 senses are designed to engage the world through your soul. But faith is designed to engage God and eternity through your spirit. Do you know that you need faith to worship God? How many of you have ever seen God? You need faith, firstly, to believe that God exists. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and a rewarder of those who seek Him. So firstly, you have to believe that He exists. Now, I know you believe God exists. That's why you're here. Otherwise, you would be some other religious institution where they worship some other god. So you believe God exists. Okay? James says that's good, but here's the problem. He says even demons do that. Even demons believe that God exists. So we have to do more than the demonic kingdom. Amen. He says, now He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Have you noticed in Scripture, God says, if you knock, I'll open. If you ask, I'll answer. If you come near to Me, I'll come near to you. What have you noticed in that? Every action begins in the earth. Not with God, with you. God's not on a rescue mission. He did that 2,000 years ago.
Yes, sir.
The Bible that I read tells me God has already given you everything you need for life and godliness.
Everything.
He's given it. Now you have to believe it and walk in it. If you don't do that, honey, we can't help you. You must take personal responsibility for your life. We've learned in life how to blame others. We even blame God. How do we do that? Well, you know, it was the will of God. It was the will of God. And you didn't even pray. You didn't even ask God to help you. Now you failed. Now you say it's the will of God. Why didn't you say I was lazy and I didn't do anything? How about personal responsibility for your disaster? Amen. But we have to cloak it in spiritual words, because we are spiritual people. So we talk to one another, well, you know, God is good. You know, but it just didn't work out. I'm sure it was the will of God. Maybe God is teaching me something. Yes, He's teaching you how to pray. How about learning to pray? What is prayer? Prayer is an expression of faith in an eternal God who is able to change all of your temporal situations. Amen. All right, you better help me to move on, because otherwise we're going to be here for a while. Since I'm 21 months late, I have to make up. Is this helping you? I can't hear you. All right. I want to make sure that you're getting help, because that's my intention. When I sat there, I prayed a prayer. I said, Lord, fill my heart with your love for this congregation, that I may share your revelation with them, that they may be changed in the process. I'm not standing here to take up your time. I genuinely want to help you if you want to be helped. Amen. Now, the Bible that I read tells me in Habakkuk 2:4 that the just shall live by faith. In other words, let's put it in modern English. The operating system of the just is faith. You know that every machine, every computer needs an operating system? Your operating system is called faith. Some of your faith outdated. You've been flagged. It's time to upgrade. It's time to upgrade. Some people are like that. They never upgrade the software. And one day the thing crash. It's time to upgrade your faith. That last, that old faith of you that only works for blessing and prosperity, it's not going to carry you in the years to come. You better learn how to toughen up. Amen. You better learn how to be bold and love the Lord, not just privately in these beautiful four walls, but out there in public. Because the purpose of your salvation is representation. If you don't represent the Lord in the world, you are failing at being a follower of Christ. You need faith for that. Amen. You need faith to be able to share your faith. Amen. You need the help of the Lord. Not just try and do that by yourself. You see, the Christian faith is not a DIY program. A do-it-yourself thing. No. Everything in the Christian faith hinges on a reliance on God. As soon as we declare independence from God, there we go, down the tube. You're supposed to learn how to work and live your life by faith. Amen? Amen. Everything in God's kingdom works by faith. And we've got to learn how to cooperate with God. Amen? Amen. God is not releasing His power or His potential in the absence of faith. I'm going to say it over here because you guys didn't hear me this time, eh? Okay, let me say it again. God will not release His potential or His power in the absence of faith. This doesn't mean He can't do it. Simply means He won't do it. And without faith, you cannot please God. Which means the absence of faith is the displeasure of God. All right, I've got to watch myself here. Now, I said earlier that faith must pierce, is it right? We'll get that to a moment. God is eternal, and everything that emits from God, therefore, is eternal. Eternity is not a duration of time. Eternity is a quality of existence. Okay, let me say that again. Because we grew up in church believing one day when we die, we're going to have eternal life. Okay, is that right? But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible that I read tells me this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and Him sent by the Father. Eternal life is a relationship with eternity, who is God, and it is a quality of existence. If you are in Christ, you have eternal life right now in your spirit. That's why to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? Okay. So this natural physical world that you and I see is a product of the eternal and is therefore subject to it in every conceivable way. Everything your eyes can see is subject to eternal life. Which means as soon as God brings to bear the authority of eternity upon the temporal, it changes. Where did Jesus and his disciples go when he started his ministry? He went to a wedding. Not sure if he was invited, but he went to the wedding. And an embarrassing thing happened at the wedding. Is it true? They ran out of wine. Okay, grape juice. And Mary came to Jesus and said, you've got to fix this. And he said to her, it's not yet my time. Do you know why he said that to her? 18 years earlier, she told him to shut up and come home. When he was sitting in the temple debating with the rabbis about the scriptures, and he was 12 years old, and he said to her, woman, don't you know I should be about my father's business? And she grabbed him by the ear and took him home. That same woman now says to him, it's time. All right? So let's fast forward. Then she tells him something. He tells the servant something. Whatever he tells you, just do it. You see, Mary said that first, not Nike. Just do it. Whatever he tells you, just do it. And you know the whole process that went on there. Now, firstly, scientifically, you cannot change water into anything. You can change its structure, snow, ice, steam, whatever. But it always comes back to water. But Jesus changed water. In other words, eternity came on the scene and changed matter, that which it created. Now, here's the problem. It didn't happen that day. Because when they tasted the wine, they said, this is mature wine. It's at least 10 years old. Or 20. I don't know how long. In other words, not only did he impact matter, but he impacted time. Eternity, therefore, has the power to change matter because it emits from eternity, and time because it emits from eternity. In other words, God can create a miracle in the past. Not just in the present. It can manifest now, but it happened in the past. Okay. Alrighty. Now, there's another thing about faith. Faith doesn't run by itself. It doesn't even work by itself. Faith has a sidekick. The Bible says, faith worketh by love. In other words, you may have the gift of faith, but if you don't have love, faith doesn't operate. Which means if I have the gift of faith and I pray for somebody, I don't even like them. God won't do anything about it. Because he's expecting me to allow his love to flow through my spirit to the person that's been receiving ministry. Because in the end, they are supposed to experience God and not me. So faith works by love. It's a force. It's limitless in power. But love must attach itself to faith in order for it to do its work. So when you pray, allow your prayers to be motivated by love for God, His kingdom, His church, His people, His purposes, His agenda. Don't pray like a heathen, always just asking God for stuff. Jesus said, don't be like that. Your Father in heaven knows what you have need of. You don't have to constantly tell Him. That's an expression of fear and unbelief and doubt. An expression of faith is to thank God for what He's done for you, what He's doing for you, what He will do for you, because your Father knows what you have need of. But you, when you pray, says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is already in heaven. In other words, shift from your petty needs onto God's agenda, God's purpose, God's intention. And you know what I've come to discover? When you are obsessed with God's things, what you need just happens. Let me teach you something. If the kingdom is first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then seek to put it first, you will come to a place in your walk with God where you don't ever have to ask God for anything. There's this perpetual supernatural flow of God to your life. Because you're about your Father's business. You love God. You love His church. You love His kingdom. You serve Him to the best of your ability. And you flow with God and God flows through you. You come to a space in your walk with God where you don't even have to ask God for anything. You think about something and it happens. Of your walk with God and God's walk with you. Come on, folks. There's more in God than what we've made Him. Amen? Alrighty. So you received an initial deposit of faith. Have you noticed when Jesus went about His ministry, He never asked anybody, do you have faith? Do you have faith? He always asked them, do you believe? In other words, He presupposes that they have faith. Because He knows they've got faith because He gave it to them. But He's asking them, do you believe? In other words, are you willing to employ your faith? Or is your faith unemployed? Are you willing to use your faith so that God may be glorified through your life? Amen? Amen? Now, faith cannot lie on the surface of its intended target. It must pierce through the subject in order to bring about change. So I want to illustrate this to you because I think the best way I can do this is by explaining to you how the male sperm penetrates the female egg. The male sperm penetrating the female egg. Because only if the sperm press through the ovum wall does conception take place. When it does, there is an instantaneous burst of powerful supernatural life has begun. If it does not pierce through the ovum wall, nothing happens. In other words, if faith doesn't pierce through the object that it wants to change, nothing happens. And for faith to pierce the object, it must be accompanied by love. No love, no penetration. It needs love in order to break through the resistance in your life. Many of the resistance that we experience has been built up through trials and tribulations and hardships and mismanagement of relationships and all kinds of stuff have built up this wall. Many of us come to a meeting like this to escape the reality that we live outside there. God wants to use these moments to reset us in how we function and how we live, so that we may be able to become more of an expression of who God is. He loves us dearly, passionately, but that cannot really manifest unless we come on board. Amen? Are you still okay?
Yes,
all righty. Now, I'll give you four verses of scripture. And I can't see that far in the back for the clock, so somebody needs to help me with time. Oh, okay.
4 hours?
You may be alone by then. I'll give you four scriptures. Because the Bible says the righteous live by faith. In other words, your life is constituted and it is designed to function by faith. If you don't have faith, it's like trying to drive your car without gas. You may have a beautiful Mustang convertible with a lot of V8 or a Hemi engine in there. If there's no gas, you're going nowhere in a hurry. You got to fill it up and let the top down. Not now, it's too cold and summer. But you really need power in order to have motion.
Yes, sir.
Faith is that aspect, that dimension of God that He is determined that will fuel us to have motion towards God's purpose, God's provision, God's blessing for our lives. Let me put it simple. Jesus told His disciples, "You have not, for you ask not." In other words, whatever you don't have, it's your fault, not God's fault. Either you have not asked, or you've asked amiss. Because you're asking for things to waste on yourself. Okay, let me give you the verses. Habakkuk 2:4. "Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. But the righteous, he will live by his faith." Galatians 3:11. "Now, that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith." Hebrews 10:38. "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Ooh la la. God is saying that as a righteous person in Christ, that we shall live by faith. And if you pull your faith back from God, God says, "My soul shall not have any pleasure in you." Oh, that's a big stick. Romans 1:17. "For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it's written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." Have you noticed there? It says faith to faith. Growing from one dimension of faith to another. Are you still running on last year's faith? Or the 2018 edition?
Wow.
You got to upgrade your understanding, your heart, your mind, because you've come to the battlefield. If you find yourself on the battlefield of life without faith, you may become a casualty of war. In fact, this is my opinion, Pastor Chris. Many people have died during this COVID time because of fear, not because of COVID. Your immune system is adversely affected by fear. Faith, therefore, positively impacts your immune system. If you can rid your body of fear, already you are in a better position to live a wholesome, healthy, strong, vital life. And if you can now fuel your life by more faith, how do you get more faith? You need to get more of the Word of God into your life. Now in Christendom, we have been taught that faith is about getting things from God. Isn't it true? But the biblical teaching goes far beyond the mere trusting of God for things. Tell the person next to you, faith is not just for things.
Faith is not just for things.
Oh, yes, Black Friday is coming. It's coming. Going to buy things, and then we're going to store it and pay monthly for the storage. I know you don't do that. So faith then in the Bible is characterized by the entire existence of the people of God. It's just the way they lived. By faith. In every aspect of their walk with God was a walk by faith. In other words, as I said earlier, that if you stepped out of faith as far as they were concerned, you have abandoned God. Think about that for a moment. To be out of faith, because how else can you relate with God but by faith? To be low in faith means to be low in your perception and pursuit of God. All right, let's get to that verse. Hebrews 11:6. You know that well. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay? I need to do this. Thank you. Oh, it is open. Thank you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who seek him. So the beginning of life is such that faith starts with the acceptance of the existence of God. You must believe that he is. But then he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Did you only seek him for salvation? And now that you receive salvation in Christ, it was the end of your search. And now you're cruising at a low altitude. You're not careful, you're going to hit the treetops. You must be hot in pursuit of God. And you need that. It can only happen by faith. God rewards us. Let's get back to Hebrews 11, because I would love for you in your own time to read the whole chapter of Hebrews 11. Which really is an incredible book, a chapter in the book. I love the book of Hebrews. It's a book for mature Christians. It was written for Christians that has been persecuted for their faith. But here in the 11th chapter, it's like visiting the museum of faith. The hall of fame. These guys all have those belts, like those WWE belts. They all have them belts. You know? Faith. They have that big F. Faith. And that buckle, it's huge. You know? The Bible says that they have accomplished. Some of them took kingdoms by faith. For some of them, the mouths of lions were shut by faith. Some of them were so persuaded about God that Esther would say, even if it cost me my life, I'm going in to see the king so that I can rescue and redeem my people. They didn't live, they didn't use faith just to meet their own needs. Amen? That one fell softly, hey? They didn't use faith just to meet their own needs. They used faith to accomplish God's goals. God's objectives. Amen? A little quiet, eh? It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. By faith the walls of Jericho fell. By faith Rahab the harlot didn't perish. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? For time fail me, even as now. If I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, and quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Imagine tortured by faith. In other words, I'm going to hold on to God, even if they pull out my toenails, because in the end, I'm going to get a better reward for being persecuted and being martyred for my faith. Wow. Faith to follow through in the midst of persecution. Amen? That's a different kind of faith, is it, than getting a new car? Since they were stoned, not because they smoked something. They were sawn into two, cut into two. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins and being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Hang on. Here's a problem. The Bible says that they didn't receive what they believed for. That constitutes a problem for many of us. Because I've prayed and I've asked God for something and God didn't give it to me and now I'm out of here. I'm not going to serve this God any longer who doesn't obey me. The Bible tells me they believed God and it was counted to them for righteousness. Even though many of the things they believed God for, they did not receive, but their seed received it. Their children received what they believed for. If you study the Bible, you know, when the nation of Israel was in the wilderness, the Bible tells me that when God spoke to the children of those who fell in the wilderness, He said to them, I spoke to you when I spoke with your fathers, because I spoke to them when you were still in their loins. And I pulled you into a dimension and walked with me even before you were born. This is the kind of God we serve. I suppose I have to find a landing spot. Is that right? Some of you have exhausted your listening. And you are wondering about dinner. So let me see how I can be kind to you. Okay? I must go back to Hebrews 11 verse 1, which is that famous verse that we use for getting stuff. In the New King James Version, it reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." How many know that verse? I can't see your hands. Can I see? Come on, don't do this. You know that verse. Okay. Now, I want to help you because you need to get a new Bible. In the New American Standard Bible, let's read that verse again. "Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for," but this time the words "of things" are in brackets. "Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Now, the two words "of things" is not in the original text. When the translators translated the Bible and they didn't clearly understand the purpose of faith, they added those words "of things" in there. Okay, let me read it the way it's supposed to read. Are you ready for this? "Now, faith is the substance hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The purpose of faith is faith itself. God gave you a measure of faith that you may grow in faith. Just like He gave one talent and five talents and ten talents for them to begin to work with it. Because as you learn to walk with faith and walk in faith, it has the potential to grow and increase and multiply in your life. So understand this. Faith is not the assurance of things. Faith is the assurance that you are hoping for. The conviction of things that you have not yet seen with your eyes. Amen? Is this helping you? So the real goal of faith is faith itself. Not what it can produce for you. Hence, faith is a firm persuasion or conviction. It has its very focus and constitution and manifestation on the nature of God. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Let me give you a quick summary of what I've said so that I can go sit down. Firstly, faith is an extremely strong conviction or persuasion rooted in something God said. In other words, faith is not a result of you practicing mind over matter. Or humming, ooh, whatever it is you do when you're in trouble. Conjuring something up in your mind. Allowing your soul to preach to you. Okay? Faith is a conviction, and that conviction rests squarely on something God said. Secondly, it comes by hearing the Rhema word of God. How does faith come to us? Faith comes out of eternity. It's carried by the word. It's an administration of grace. It reaches your spirit. It gains permission through the mind of Christ. It now returns to God in faith and belief and suddenly what God wanted gets done. If it gets stuck somewhere in the system, it doesn't produce what God is after. And the place that normally gets stuck is in your soul. In the mind of your soul, where we debate and argue and render the things of God powerless through our soulish mind. This conviction that the Lord gives us is not so much a mental position of belief and agreement as much as it is a divine reality that produces a confident expectation of hope. In other words, it's operating in your spirit. And your spirit begins to preach to you, sometimes in the night season. Amen? This hope causes one to act with the intense desire in obedience, even without any physical, tangible proof of evidence, because faith provides a perspective into the unseen, invisible reality. Faith allows you to see into eternity where your soul and your natural eyes will not allow you to look. Let me stretch you a little bit more. There's one aspect of your being that's eternal. For now, it's your spirit. It comes from God. It's not a product of your mother and father's union. That's your little tent that you live in, your body. Your spirit is the part that is eternal. It comes from God. Are you with me? Now, your spirit has the potential to know God and to hear God and to obey God. Of course, you have to silence the voice of your soul. Some of us give our soul too much stimulation. Too much television. You know, too much of too much. It's not good. You need to learn how to withdraw yourself out of the system of the world and how to spend time with God. In fact, you need to learn how to give the first fruit of every day to God. The first hours of your waking day belongs to God. You say, I have to be at work, then get up earlier. We all have to work. Okay? Get up in the morning and spend time with God and command your day. Amen? Don't just let it happen. No, structure it in your times of prayer. Command situations to change and to do things. Amen?
Amen.
Yesterday I was on my way to the airport and I had a funeral and then I had a rush to the airport. And we suddenly found ourselves in afternoon traffic in New Orleans working our way to the airport. And the dear brother and sister who was driving me to the airport, they were under such pressure because they didn't want me to miss my flight. So the whole time they were praying in the spirit. I was just sitting in the back there, chilling. And I watched the clock and I made a decree. I said, I decree that this airline will delay its aircraft. I decree that when I check in that they will not mess with me. They will take my luggage. I decree that it will wait for me. Okay? So I got to the check-in counter, and the clerk said, I'm not sure if I can accept you on this flight. I said, yes, you can. And I realized that if he accepts me, my luggage may not follow me. Do you know what happened? I got on the plane. We sat another 20 minutes on the tarmac before we took off. And the Lord sort of reminded me, you delayed this thing. Just chill, sit, and wait. You see, the authority that we have in Christ supersedes our little minds. Because there's so much more that we can be, have, and do if we're willing to walk with God and operate by faith.
Amen.
I want to encourage you folks, because it's so important for you to do this. Because let me tell you, the next few years ahead of you, it's not going to get better. If you think this COVID thing's going to go away in a hurry, let me tell you, it's not. The governments of this world have tasted power over people that they've never had before. Traditionally, when politicians gain power over people, they never give it back. So you better learn how to dig your heels in. And you better learn how to get more faith in your life, because you're going to need it. Because without it, you're not going to get much done, and you'll become a statistic. So I said faith is a what? A trans-earthly power. It's not a native of earth. It doesn't start here. I know you've read the Bible says, now faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word of God. Well, that's the landing spot. It doesn't start there. It starts with God. Then it's transported to you. Whenever faith comes to you, it's full of grace in order to accomplish that whereunto God sends it. Amen? Faith originates in God. It's projected in our world by the Holy Spirit. And it's administered. If you are a spiritual person, faith will succeed. If you're a carnal person, faith will fail. Same people listen to the same message. Some get something from God, some get nothing. It's not God, the Bible teach me. It's not the seed, it's the soil. The soil always determines whether the seed will produce. What is the soil? Condition of your heart. Matthew 13. Rocks, stones, different things that hinders the seed from falling into the ground. That's why, folks, your heart must be circumcised so that the seed of the word can fall into your heart and change your life. If not, it lies on the surface. And the birds of the air, demonic spirits come and steal the word of God from you. That's why many people, by the time they have lunch on a Sunday, they can't tell you what the word was about. Between church and their home, the demonic spirits stole the word. Some of it stolen right in the meeting. They come like Pac-Man. Grab the word. Grab it from you. Why? It's just lying on the surface. It's just lying on the surface. Just like a bird can come and just pick it up. But if it falls into the soil, what does it say? If a seed does not fall into the soil, into the earth, and die, it remains but a single seed. But if it dies, it produces much, much more. Unless it falls into your heart, it's not going to do what God designed it to do. Amen?
Amen.
May God be gracious to us. And may the Lord help you in opening yourself up to the Lord and making yourself vulnerable to God. And allowing the word of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, to make an incision in your heart. So that the seed can fall in. If it does not fall in, nothing happens. Just like if faith does not penetrate the object it wants to change, nothing happens. Amen? Are you going to allow yourself to become more vulnerable to God? I'm going to ask again, because that first response was only the first row. Are you going to allow yourself to become more vulnerable to God?
Yes, sir.
You need faith for that. You need faith to become real with God. God doesn't want to relate to pretense. We're all wearing masks now. I notice many of you don't wear masks any longer. We've been masquerading for a long time now with these masks. But we've been masquerading long before the mask. Pretending that we're something that we're not. Singing the songs of Zion. You know, being amongst the people of God. Learning how to speak church. Church is a language. You can learn how to speak it. And in the process, we just blend in. But deep down in our innermost being, we know that we know that we're not it. God wants to help us. Amen. Can I pray? How many of you realize you need prayer? Okay. Would you be kind to humble yourself before the Lord and to stand where you're seated? That's an indication that, Lord, I want to do business with you. And in the process, let's ask the Lord to help us. Amen. Let me tell you this. You have no idea how much you need faith. In fact, you need faith to know how much you need faith. This is really what God wants for us as His people to excel. Throwing stones at the political system, whether it's whoever's in the White House, Washington, of course, it can swing left or right, or whatever. But I want you to understand, your life should not be defined by what happens just politically. Your life should be defined by the kingdom of God. And then out of that encounter with God, we can transform our communities, our societies, our cities, and bring about transformation because we have been transformed firstly. Amen? Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Now, join your faith with my faith. Okay? Don't be passive. Agree. If any two shall agree on any matter, why does God say that? When we agree, God looks from heaven, and guess what does God see? God sees Himself. God is in unity, in intimacy, in fellowship, in His community of existence. When we agree, God sees something of Himself in us. Amen. Now, Father, we bless your name. We praise your name. We worship you. We exalt your name in the heavens of the heavens. We declare that your name is glorious, powerful, magnificent. We declare, Father, that your will prospers in all of your creation. And we declare that no weapon formed against us as your sons shall prosper. For in Zion we lift up our voices and we administer the judgments of the Lord upon the enemies of God. We declare tonight, Father, that some of us here are battle weary. These 2 years have been hard on the soul. Some of us are just dragging ourselves through life, just existing from day to day. But tonight, by your grace, O God, you've come to infuse life into our spirits. I receive from you, Father, faith. I impart to your people the grace of faith, my God. Faith to your spirit. Faith to your spirit. Faith to your spirit. And as we receive this from you, O God, our spirits leap within us. Because that which is eternal recognizes you who are eternal. And we rejoice as the connection is made with our spirits. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I cast out the spirit of doubt and unbelief from the hearts of your people. I cast out lack and poverty and depravity from amongst your people. I cast out in Jesus' name every spirit, every lying spirit, every deceiving spirit, every wicked spirit that has attached itself to the sons of God, lying to them, constantly deceiving them. I speak the life of God, the power of the kingdom, the anointing of Christ over his people. We release your joy, O Lord, amongst your people. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We draw from the wells of salvation strength. We draw hope. We draw future. We draw strength, my God. Strength to stand in the midst of the trial of our faith. Faith to prosper in the midst of trials and tribulations. Faith to overcome in the middle of hardship. We thank you, my God, for greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And of the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell within you, it shall quicken your mortal bodies, cause you to rise up in strength, in power, in grace, in anointing. Father, I speak your blessing to this house. I release grace to this house, Father. Strength, power to stand and to witness for Christ, and to declare your purposes unencumbered under your anointing. We declare that your name is glorious. Glorious in the heavens of the heavens, upon the earth, in the world, in your church and in your kingdom. Your fame is magnificent, Lord, and glorious. Now, O God, we pray in the days ahead of us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you continue to witness to us. Take the things of the Word and of the Spirit and nurture us, train us, teach us, break through the resistance, destroy the walls of separation, of alienation, confrontation with the kingdom of darkness. And cause your people to break through. I release upon this house a breaker anointing in the name of Jesus Christ. Break through in the name of the Lord. Break through in the Spirit. Break through to come up higher in the kingdom of God. We release, O Lord, the grace to mature as saints, to know the mind of God and the will of God, to be encountered by your kingdom, my God, and transformed by your kingdom. We declare in this house, kingdom of God come, will of God be done. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray that you be glorified, my God. this church will be a beacon of hope, a standard in the community of your grace, of your purpose, and of your kingdom. We ask these things in Jesus' name. We receive them by faith, and we bless your name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Hallelujah. What a word. Amen. Hallelujah. What a powerful word. Listen, we have a responsibility to... One of the greatest things we have is our attention. And I just hear God just saying that we need to give our attention to the right place. We have given our attention to things of the flesh, our time, our treasures, our talents. I hear God saying, give Him our attention. Take hold of the attention of God. Get hold of the attention of God. Get in our words. Begin to eat that word. Let our spirit begin to grow and expand. Greater. Greater. Thank you. God bless you. We love you. Hallelujah.